Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California. Time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee and come and join us.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men born on by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Seek from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these will be missing, no one lack its mate. For his mouth has commanded it, and his spirit gathers them. His spirit gathers them. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men born on by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men born on by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. But men born on by the Holy Spirit spoke from God.
We are in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4 to verse 15. Oh, actually, it's verses 4 to chapter 8, verse 4 to verse 8.
And when a great crowd came together, and they of every city resorted unto him, he spake by a parable. The sower went forth to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden under, and the birds of the heaven devoured it. And other fell on rock, and growing it withered away because it had no moisture. And other fell amidst the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and grew and brought forth fruit a hundredfold. And as he said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Let's go ahead and read 9 through 15. They go together.
And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. And he said, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables. And seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not be saved by believing. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who for a season believe, and in the season of temptation fall away. And what fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and while going on are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And that the good ground, these are such as in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience."
This is an interesting point that we want to bring out here. Is in verse 4, it starts off with a great crowd came together, and he spoke in parables. Then it goes on in verse 9, the next context, and it says his disciples asked him what this parable might be. So here you've got the whole crowd, the great crowd, then you've got his disciples. Now his disciples can be more than the 12. It could be some of the women that were hanging around too, like it talked about in the prior one, Mary Magdalene and so on.
And many others.
Yeah. And many others. So his disciples, this does not just mean the 12. Anyone, and what is a disciple?
One who is learning. It's really just what that word means.
One who's subjecting himself, and he's repented, which means he's changing his mind, and now he really wants to start over.
Mm-hmm.
And so along this 3.5-year period, there's always going to be some new ones, some new babes that are going to be coming along, but also some that have heard it maybe for a year or two or whatever. But all along the way, there's going to be gathering disciples to him. So these are the ones around him who really want to know. So he spoke this parable about the seed, the sower and the seed. And some fall along the wayside, like along the road. Road is like a highway or roadway. You know, maybe there's carts on it. Just maybe one is where people walk along it. Some you've got carts and horses and maybe heavy traffic, maybe some chariots. You know, on an Interstate 5, you can have chariots, and and another one is sown by the wayside, another on rocky, another amongst thorns, and another look at how it says this, on rocky, another one amidst thorns, and the last one into the good ground. Look at the difference, just those words. What else did you guys see?
Something real simple here, before he even gets into the parable. Some people, I mean, at least when I was an early Bible reader, I'd see this word parable, and I wouldn't really know what that meant. Maybe just like a story, but it's the word. The word means is to cast beside and to given a liken, a parallel to something. So he's going to give you a story about something, and then he's going to give you what it is.
And it comes from the Greek word?
Parabolo?
Parable.
Parable. Parable.
It's like amen. Amen. Amen in the Hebrew is amen in the Greek, and then they change it to verily. Okay, please. It's amen means amen, and parable means parable.
So now that you know what a parable is, now you can look at why Jesus spoke in those.
Yeah, people are a seed. That person is a seed, and whether you are going to prosper and bear fruit or you're going to die. You know, some seeds are die because they're just sown on hard ground and they don't produce any life. And then some produce a short-lived life, you know, on rocky. That's not a really good. You ever seen trees that are sown on rocky ground? They're all twisted and contorted and they never get that big. Like if you think of a tree or wheat, or you plant a lot of flowers and there's a bunch of weeds in it, or thorns, or thistles, especially if you're planting something you want to eat, and it's taken over by a bunch of thorns and thistles, that's really hard to harvest. And then the good ground.
So this great crowd that heard this, apparently this is all they got.
Yeah.
There you go. Enjoy the story.
Yeah, he got.
Here's the parable. There you go.
4 through 8. Yeah, they understood. Well, they got 4 through 8 versus 4 through 8.
They did. That's what they got.
They didn't get the rest.
He doesn't say in here the kingdom of heaven is like any of this. He just says the sower went out to sow.
It's just starting right there.
There's no preamble.
Nothing.
No. So then he goes on in 9 through 15 that we read. And what does he do?
Well, here he says, he starts, his disciples, they came to him and they were questioning him to what the parable meant. So they wanted to know, what did this mean that you just said?
So right here, we know what a disciple is. It's not just a learner. They're question askers. They want to, you know, you just don't read the Bible and just go, okay, that's it.
Oh, wow, that was a really neat thing. Yeah. All right, let's go home.
And they don't look into it further and ask questions, right?
I was just thinking they want to go a little bit further. Yeah. Their intent was to understand what he said.
What does this mean?
Yeah. And Jesus said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables. So he's refers to this as mysteries of the kingdom of God.
Now, it's another really hard Greek word, mysteria.
Mystery.
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 Mystery means a mystery. Same Greek word.
And that can be kind of a hard thing for people to look at, that there are things in the Bible that are mysteries or things that are hidden.
But we're finding out that these mysteries are, you can figure them out,
mm-hmm.
you can get the answers, but you're going to have to get them from God. Jesus has to, all the ones that we know, Jesus is explaining them to them. So you've got to read the next part. You can't just say, okay, that's enough, and walk away.
Right.
Now they're hanging by and they're asking questions. And so you've got to be patient. You got to find it out from the master.
That's why he says to you, it's been given to know these mysteries and that the kingdom of God. There are mysteries in there. And to the rest, he speaks in these parables.
And by the way, he's already told this story in Matthew. And he's already told this story in Luke. And so this is the third time he's telling the story.
See, Mark, Matthew, and Luke.
And I'll tell you this, all three stories, they are the same, but they have elements in them that are different. And this story, as in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as you go up to the next step, it's going to bring more elements with each one. And you might think more elements than I would really want to try to assemble in one sitting, but just to say they are elements to look at. So if whoever's listening, go back to Matthew 13 and look at Mark 4 And now we're here at Luke 8 for the three different tellings. One for each book has a telling of this story.
So what else did you find, Andy?
Well, the first thing he says when he starts to explain the parable, he starts out by saying, the seed is the word of God.
He starts giving them definitions on things. The seed equals word of God. So now you can take that little piece that you know and start putting that in there. So that as far as verses 4 through 8 are concerned, now we know what the seed is.
And that this is about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. This is about mysteries, and the mysteries are going to be explained, and it has to do with the word of God. And the first one says, those that are by the wayside have heard, and then comes the devil and takes away the word from their heart that they may not be saved by believing. So what do you think about that one? That would be disheartening to read that one and go, really, that's really true? And those on the rock are those when they heard, they receive the word with joy, and they don't have any root. For a season, they believe, and in a season of temptation, they fall away. And what fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and while going on are choked with the cares and riches and the pleasures of this life, and they bring no perfect fruit to perfection, to maturity.
Perfect being mature. Yeah.
Mature. And that the good ground, now here we got to the good ground now. These are such, they have an honest and a good heart, and they heard the word, they hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. That sure is different than that first story he told.
That word about maturing, in other words, doesn't grow up into the, and what we're growing up into is the full image of Jesus. You know, until
that's the picture, yeah.
Christ be formed in us, till he comes to full growth within us.
And we talked about this before. You were mentioning, Gilda, that the kingdom of God has to do with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Of a person having the Holy Spirit and being righteous and having peace and having joy, talking with God, and there are mysteries about that, meaning it's not flat. This shows that there are four different situations that are sitting right in front of this mystery about people and how they hear it and what they do and where it lands and what happens to them. There's more than just, I believe and I'm saved. There's a lot of detail here to see.
You know, in Matthew and Mark, it says, are you talking about the root or where are you now in this?
I was just talking about all four
of them
types.
Generally?
Oh, sure.
And this one in Matthew and Mark, talking about the root, they don't endure. They believe for a while or endure for a while. So in the last one, it says believe. So they're believing for a while or enduring for a while, but they don't endure to the end. The one that endures till the end, the same shall be saved. So, you know, looking at all three of them together.
You have to stay to the end.
So endurance to the finish line. We went across the finish line. You don't run a race and not finish the race. You have to finish the race.
And the last one in Matthew says, on the good ground, he understands. And it shows here that they bear fruit and they bring forth fruit 160 or 30. So not everybody's going to bring forth the same amount of fruit, but one's 100, one's 60, and one's 30. But he doesn't say that that's bad. He just says one does this, one does this, one does this, but they bear fruit. That's another thing. Enduring is one thing. Bearing fruit is another thing. Let me see. The last one in Mark 4. Let me look at that one.
One, Matthew goes at it a different direction. It goes 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. And Mark goes 30, 60, 100-fold.
So what does that show you?
Yeah. One is learning about the kingdom of God. And this beginning one, so it looks like you need to see the big picture first, then a little less, and then more detail. And Mark is the opposite. When you're able to serve, you can bring 30, 60, and 100-fold in your production, that when you're producing fruit. But the other, I think, is looking, when you're first learning about the kingdom of heaven, you're learning. It's not like you're really into production yet, and you're learning. And so it's like big picture first and then so on. So I can see there why we still have to look at, we're still focusing when you're doing Matthew is big picture first, and the details will come out later. And then it's just the opposite in Mark, 30, 60, 100-fold, that when you're learning to serve, for service, you're not expected to, you'll grow in your service, 30, 60, and then 100-fold. You will change and grow in that.
You know, there's a verse that says, much given, much required. So at first we're told 100, 60, 30, and there's nothing to compare it to. And the next comparison we get is the reverse of those numbers. Like he wasn't focused so much on that, he opened up the thing that there are going to be different levels that people are.
Just do the best you can at
and
that.
Whatever your level is in that. And Jesus isn't judging it because he flipped it. He flipped it upside down.
Yeah, but a different focus. It's really interesting how these little details come out later on when you look at the different steps that a person is on.
And then Luke, he says, the good ground, honest, good heart, hold the word fast, bring forth fruit with patience. Not 30-60, not 100-30-60, not 60-30-100. They just bring forth fruit with patience.
Now, I didn't look up the other ones, but Luke 8 about the seed is the word of God, and it's the Logos.
Right.
Which means Jesus in the beginning was, well, I can't say that. Anyway, it's the Logos. It is Jesus. The seed is Jesus, how much Jesus grows in you. So the more Jesus, the more you're going to produce fruit. In other words, you're going to affect more people's lives. More people will come to know Jesus through you.
There's even in the past couple teachings that we've gone through or radio podcasts, there's talk about fruit. You know, when John the Baptizer was talking about, therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance and things like that. God wants people to grow and not just be a fruitless tree or a fruitless plant. He wants people to grow. And if you looking at that last one, some 30, some 60, some 100, some 100, some 60, some 30, that they're all still producing fruit, regardless of the quantity, they're still producing fruit.
So the seed it's really talking about is Jesus, for the seed is Jesus, the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of them, it's all the logon, the image. So he takes away this logon, the image of Jesus, out of your heart. But we're practicing, and if we keep practicing, it all centers around these fundamental principles like repentance away from dead works and faith on God and so on. The doctrine of baptisms, plural. They're baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And then there's in one spirit, we're all baptized into one body, immersed into one body. So it's actually three baptisms, the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands. Seven reasons for the laying on of hands in the scriptures. And then there's the resurrection from the dead, away from the dead. We're stand up away from the dead. A dead person just lies down and disintegrates. We are to stand up and go the opposite direction into eternal life. Resurrection away from the dead and eternal judgment.
There are things that can get in the way and choke that off.
Right.
Choke off us practicing the image.
And the eternal judgment is to things that come out of our mouth are godly. It starts actually with songs. Do we sing about God in our heart, about Jesus in our heart? And also we become air flyers. We're not held down by thinking like the world does. Let's put it that way. We don't think like the world does. And have our senses exercised, you know, like have good judgment. Think like God. Have a heart and a mind of God. Those are the types of things it's talking about, eternal judgment. Having a heart and making judgments like God. And he wasn't critical of people. He was forgiving. You can judge and forgive. Why don't people understand that? You know, they always say, judge not lest you be judged in the Christian circles. I hear them afraid of that term, judgment. Well, judgment, God's forgiveness is in judgment. I judge him forgiven.
And that means—
why are we afraid of that?
That means you have a clear conscience and you're moving along.
Yeah, you can make mistakes, and if Jesus says, that's all right, my son, try again, get up and try again. Oh, you made a mistake again. Get up and try again, young man. And now it's, get up and try again, you old guy. I know it's hard to get up, but get up and try again.
But it is interesting that this same parable is told with three different flavors. I'll just call it flavors. One, the beginning one, and then Mark, the servant one, and now we've got to Luke, the next one. The same one is told three times. And there's things to be learned. We know that. There's things to be learned at each step about this.
This one, okay, from this one, Jesus comes as a man. He has gone through all these, and he is bearing fruit. And he passed it when he passed all the tests. And in chapter 4 of Matthew and other chapters, I guess it was 3 of Luke or whatever, whenever he was tempted of the devil, and then he got baptized and started his ministry. He was washed and put on priestly garments and started, or king, you know, he's king. So he put on a king's garment and he starts bringing salvation. He overcame all this. He is the example. He is the Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. It's him. And now we're to copy that. And he's to be in us, that knowledge of him, and he is to be in our hearts, and we do the same thing. And look at how it can be choked with the cares of the world, cares and riches. It doesn't say cares of the world. I kept wanting to say cares of the world. He is choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and brings no perfect fruit. In other words, he doesn't bear fruit to perfection. And our time has slipped away. Thank you for joining us, and until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com, or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.